Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Elizabeth Dutton.
Zarin.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
You got a second?
Of course.
You know what's ridiculous?
I do.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
Okay, so.
Do you? Tell me.
Listen up here, bub. Okay, so. This is ridiculous in many senses, but sort of like ridiculously hilarious.
Like ridiculous to the touch, ridiculous to the ear.
All the senses. All the senses. All
it smells the ridiculous.
Snacks. Yeah. Okay. So EVP, not, I'm not talking about electronic voice phenomenon. I'm not talking about executive vice president.
That's what I go for EVP. Yeah. No.
Evie as a first name, P is a last initial.
Oh, okay.
EVP sent us an email.
Oh, it was a person, EVP.
Word. Yeah. And she sent it, Dear Elizabeth.
Nice. Look at you. Like good you looking told. Out.
So it was forwarded along to me. It's amazing.
Okay, cool.
And so here's the title, the subject line, Dr. Pepper, more like Dr. Crime.
What?
And I was like, tell me more.
Please go on.
And it's not a mashup.
Yes! Can you
it's a mashup between a listener and being absolutely hilarious.
And apparently awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So let me read this to you.
Okay, please.
Sorry that the subject line didn't really make sense. This is the first line. Dear Elizabeth.
Apologies for my subject line.
I know. I love this. I'm not writing to you to alert you of a crime that has happened, but instead of one that should happen. Here's what's up. The recipe for Dr. Pepper is a big secret. Only 4 living people know the full recipe, and, apparently, the recipe is kept in a bank safety deposit box, but not just one bank. The recipe is in 2 pieces at 2 different banks in 2 different safety deposit boxes in Dallas. So, I think you can see where this is going. That's right, a heist. But how do we pull it off?
I like where your head's at.
I know, right? Here's my foolproof plan. 1. Break into Dr. Pepper HQ and steal the files detailing the location of the banks.
Good start.
2, decipher the code, which I suspect there will be, in the files. 3, heist 2 banks in Dallas only to discover no recipe.
Ooh.
4, realize the recipe isn't in Dallas, Texas, but in Dallastown, Pennsylvania. 5, hire a crew, including an explosives dude slash dudette, a getaway driver, and most importantly, a razzle-dazzle expert. 6, steal the recipe. And then it's my favorite emoji with the sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
The guy with the sunglasses. 7, hide in a cave with seemingly limitless supply of all the necessary ingredients. 8, drink Dr. Pepper.
Of course.
9, whatever the heck we want. 10, realize 9 steps is a stupid number of steps. Add another step. And that's it. Signed, your rudest rude dude, EVP. Fun fact, Dr. Pepper is not considered a cola or a root beer, but instead a pepper soda by the FDA.
A what? A pepper soda?
A pepper soda.
Interesting.
So I was going to write an entire episode acting like this was a crime.
Just make it
that
up.
The rude dude pulled off.
Yeah.
And then also insert in there that, yeah, I was the razzle dazzler.
Naturally, of course.
And just kind of like, oh my gosh, look, I'm in there. I'm actually living this, and this is a confession.
It's content journalism. Look what's happening.
But I couldn't beat this. And that's I feel good. Like you'd figure it out that this wasn't a real crime. It's just a potential crime.
Only by the time you got to
But you know, I have like this strong track record of mashups, but sometimes you got to take a breath. Sometimes you got to take a beat and say, I want to do something a little bit different. Sometimes you got to dream about robbing a bank vault for a Dr. Pepper recipe.
Thank you so much, EVP.
Right? She came through.
Oh, real one.
I know. And so I'm just so excited to share this. I've read it like 3 times and I just was dying and I thought it was hysterical and I had to share this. So.
Thank you. I love
that. That ridiculous.
That is certified.
Certifiable.
You know what's also ridiculous, Elizabeth?
No.
A psychic horse.
Wait, a what now?
That's it. That's all I'm telling you about this one.
Oh.
Yeah. Saddle up, Buttercup. Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Elizabeth.
Zarin.
Got a question for you.
Yeah.
We've talked about pet detectives.
We have.
Right? That was fun.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember how Paris Hilton hired a team of pet detectives to find her lost chihuahua?
I do remember
and
that.
The psychic detectives.
What was your third favorite part of that
episode? I like Babs. Bring him back, Babs.
Okay, yeah, bring him back, Babs.
Yeah, no doubt. This time, well, I got another one for you.
Mm-hmm.
Another psychic animal story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, have you ever wondered what it's like to own a psychic horse?
All the time.
I figure you did. You've told me your dreams in the Ridiculous Crime headquarters.
I'm out there shoveling muck in the gutters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what would it be like right now if I owned a psychic horse? And then I just think about it.
Just let that idea run through your imagination,
exactly.
Trot through your...
A thought exercise.
Your mental theater.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you ever thought about maybe, I don't know, a goat with a gift for prophecy...
That's another exercise.
Yeah.
When I'm pulling up my neighbor's lawn in the middle of the night, I'm like, what if I had a prophesizing goat?
And they should plant carrots. Or what about a jackass with a case of prognostication?
Oh, that's another
right?
thing. When I am eating the shingles off my neighbor's house in the middle of the night after I've pulled up another neighbor's lawn,
yes.
I was like, let's talk goats.
Well, you're in luck. I got a doozy for you. I got a whole
or jackass. Newer. Sorry,
jackass. Yeah, I know. But you,
I'm still caught.
I'm not going
to
limit you. You know, you may want to talk about goats and jackasses in order, and just
or
goats first.
Goat that's a jackass.
Hey-o. Well, in case this ever happens again, and someone other than me asks you if you've ever heard a story of a psychic horse,
yes,
I wanted you to be able to say yeah.
Oh yeah, I need one in my pocket.
Yeah. I didn't want you to have to say nay.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. I'm trying.
That
I'm trying
so
your
nice.
Language.
That
no?
was really good.
Anyway, you ever heard of Beautiful Jim Key?
No.
No? That was the name of my first Irish ska band. Beautiful Jim Key. Second one was
were
called...
Were there like 18 people on stage?
Yeah, totally. And then we doubled the number to 36 for the Charlie O'Shea's Happy Hoppers. You remember them?
No.
Anyway, Beautiful Jim Key. He was a horse, actually.
Oh, yeah. You silly goose.
He was a sensation at the turn of the 20th century. Famous performing horse, Elizabeth.
From the 19th to the 20th or the 20th
yes,
to the 21st?
Yes, from the 19th to the turn of the 20th century.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, this horse, right? It's like I said, sensation.
Uh-huh.
And when I say, like, sensation, I mean, this performing horse, it was claimed he could both read and write.
Read and write.
Read and write, Elizabeth.
Okay.
Yeah, literate horse. And I mean this horse. When I say literate, he could quote the Bible.
What?
Yeah, specifically, Beautiful Jim Key was able to cite any Bible passages, quote, where a horse is mentioned.
A little self-centered.
He was really about the horses in the Bible.
Maybe it's not always about you, Jim.
He wanted to see if there's salvation for a horse like him.
Whoa.
Anyway, he could also do math, right? So he was known to be able to do basic calculations up to the number of 30.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. So that's higher than I can count. So anyway, how is this possible? Was this just one super smart, like highly personable horse? Kinda. The real secret was his keeper, a man named Dr. William Key, not a real doctor. He was instead a black man, a formerly enslaved person who became a self-taught country veterinarian and thus doctor. He sold a little patent medicine on the side, you know, just for some bacon and sipping whiskey money.
Right.
And Dr. Key and his horse, beautiful Jim Key, they put on one hell of a show, right? They would travel the countryside in a special boxcar built to comfortably contain the talented equine. And it was also intended to be a rolling billboard for the growing humane Society for the Treatment of Animals.
Oh, no way.
Your people, Elizabeth. So Dr. Key and beautiful Jim Key, they would roll into town, they put on a little show, stamp a few hooves, count it to 20, wow the locals, and then advocate for people not to whip their horses or kick their dogs.
Huh.
I thought you'd love that, right?
I like it.
This pair, they played the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair, and apparently, like everywhere else, they were a huge hit. And like all the other shows, Dr. Key urged his audience to treat animals with kindness. To make his case, he pointed out how he never had to use a whip on beautiful Jim Key, and look what he could do.
Look at my boy, beautiful Jim.
Look what they did. Now, beautiful Jim Key, he also impressed someone else in a different audience on a different day, but his name was the President of the United States, William McKinley.
Oh, no way.
He was at an exposition in Tennessee, and the President was wowed by a performance of Dr. Key and beautiful Jim Key. After the show, President McKinley walks up to them and exclaims, "This is the most astonishing and entertaining exhibition I have ever witnessed." And the leader of the free world, he noted the use of the influence of kindness and patience.
Yeah.
He didn't take note, but he noticed it.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, like that. So that's one story of a super smart horse, right? Beautiful Jim Key, inspiring people, spreading kindness and the word of a humane society.
Did you know that McKinley wore 5-inch heels?
What? Did he really?
No. Go on.
So my next story for you is, what about a horse who may or may not have been psychic?
Okay.
Yeah, you ever heard of Clever Hans?
Clever Hans.
Yeah, no, it sounds like something you could order off a menu in Germany at like a XXX health spa. I will have the Clever Hans.
No, it's like a little boy at a candy store where they sell it out of the barrel and he figures out a way to drill a hole in the bottom. Oh, Clever Hans.
Then they name a candy after him.
Yeah, exactly. After now, he drowns in a vat of candy.
Clever Hans. Now, the horse, born 1895. That's the OG Clever Hans, okay. Right? Now, by 1904, internationally famous, Elizabeth, the horse was known around the world. That same year, 1904, in a special extra edition to the New York Times, the Gray Lady published a profile of this super smart horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I quote, "In an out-of-the-way part of the German capital, a horse is now shown which has stirred up the scientific, military, and sporting world of the fatherland. It should be said at the very outset that the facts in this article are not drawn from the imagination, but are based upon true observations and can be verified by Dr. Stute, Prussian Minister of Education, by the famous zoologist Professor Möbius, director of the Prussian Natural History Museum, and by other eminent scientific and military authorities."
Hmm.
You gotta love a new story. The second sentence is, "Look, trust me, this has all happened. I swear, I ain't lying."
Well, they're like not facts from my feelings, they're actual facts. It's truthy. That's early truthiness.
Seriously, cutting edge early truthiness. Okay, back to the New York Times. "Hans, the wonderful stallion, is 9 years old and is the property of Herr von Osten, a retired school teacher." Now, they're kind, they say school teachers. Others who knew him called Herr von Osten an antisocial curmudgeon. Others called him a mystic. But one point was he was a school teacher. That was true.
Okay.
He got a check for that one. Now, he treated his horse like one of his most talented pupils. As the Times reported, "The horse has never been used for riding or driving. For over 4 years, Herr von Osten has given the animal systematic instruction such as he would give to a child. The industrious pedagogue is the owner of a tenement house in the northern part of Berlin, and there he lives. The animal is quartered in a small shed adjoining a court where he is shown." So this retired school teacher, Elizabeth, he's living in a cheap apartment where he's got his horse in a shed and he teaches him like he's a school kid.
Yeah,
got
but
it?
He's raising this horse like a guy with smooth hands.
Exactly.
Come on, do some work.
Back to the New York Times.
Yeah.
"Hans is an expert in numbers, even being able to figure fractions. He answers correctly the number of fours in 8, in 16, in 30. When asked how many threes there are in 7, he stamps down his foot twice and for the fraction once. Then when 5 and 9 are written under each other on the blackboard and he is asked to add the sum, he answers correctly."
Hmm.
How is he doing this?
Beats me.
Well, it was said that Herr von Osten might ask Clever Hans, for example, "If the 8th day of the month comes on a Tuesday, what is the date of the following Friday?" I couldn't answer that, right? After a moment of time to think, clever Hans would answer, and he'd tap one of his hooves 11 times.
Hmm.
All right, now my question to you, Elizabeth. Do you believe this horse can do math?
No.
If you saw a horse do math in front of you, would you be tempted to think, wait, is that horse smarter than me?
No.
See, I would. But anyway, clever Hans was a trip for plenty of the turn-of-the-century Germans. They were like, yo, von Austin, this is mad. Your horse is smarter than my own kinder. Now, eventually, being that they were all German, someone was like, I want to test the horse.
Yeah.
So they go out and they get Oscar Fungst. Right? P-F-U-N-G-S-T.
Okay, sure.
Fungst. A psychologist.
Yeah, Oscar.
In 1907, he investigated clever Hans. This cat, Oscar, he was as sharp as like a razor blade ice skate, right? I mean, he didn't just observe and study this horse. He also observed and studied the trainer.
Oh, see?
Herr von Osten.
Mm-hmm.
And after a period of intense observation, Elizabeth, he determined that the horse was indeed super smart. But not like, I can do trigonometry smart, more like, which is what people were saying at the time. They believed the horse could do trigonometry. He was more like, I can read people super smart.
Uh-huh.
So it turns out the horse had learned to read subtle cues sent from the trainer.
That's what I was thinking.
Right? The psychologist suspected that the retired school teacher was not even aware of the cues he was putting out to the horse of which was the correct answer. Instead, the cues and the clues that he was supplying the horse, they were involuntary. And so, yet highly effective for a smart horse like him.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, Elizabeth. The horse had been trained to perform by using positive reinforcement of treats. Horse loved treats.
Always works.
Clever Hans was a sweet treat junkie, apparently, because he paid attention, super much attention. He was like, what do I got to do to get that next treat? So he studied his trainer's behavior and learned to read his body language and to guide himself to answer the trainer in the way that he wanted to hear the answer.
Yeah.
So he just watched him. He knew like the lift of an eyebrow, the movement of a pinky. The psychologist, Fungst, he goes and he wrote a journal paper about his study of this super smart horse and this dynamic, which is now called the clever Hans effect.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This story manages to take a little bit of a dark and unexpected turn because Herr von Osten, he died in 1909, right? And he leaves behind this super smart horse, clever Hans.
Oh, he didn't eat the horse?
No, but good guess on where this story is going.
Uh-oh.
What would this brainy stallion do now that Herr von Osten is gone? Well, of course, some speculators, they purchase the horse. They're like, oh, I can turn tricks with this horse. Not tricks. I can turn performances with this horse.
I can sell its body to the knight.
And apparently, they couldn't make that work, right? Nearly as well as they thought. And clever Hans apparently was just like really focused on Herr von Osten because he's like, I don't want to do tricks with y'all. So he gets sold from owner to owner as they keep trying to like, oh, I can make a turn of this and nobody can. Time passes. Eventually, it's 1916.
Mm-hmm.
Clever Hans gets drafted into the military.
Oh, no.
The super smart horse serves in World War I. Like millions of other brave soldiers, he died on the battlefield. But unlike the millions of other fallen soldiers, clever Hans was turned into dinner to feed starving soldiers.
That was
the end of the super smart horse, clever Hans.
I was hoping that like he would have like maybe had some slight scarring in his lungs from gas, and then he just developed a 1,000-yard stare.
He didn't like to talk about this.
No.
The sarn.
Oh, man.
Well, let's take a little break now that I've given
Thanks, I guess.
Dinner. Wash off the horse souffle, and when we're back, I'll tell you the story of the psychic horse that I came here to tell you about.
Okay.
Her name, Lady Wonder, the psychic horse.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because Simply Safe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. Simply Safe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying Simply Safe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplysafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Elizabeth. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You ready to meet Lady Wonder, the psychic horse?
I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
No, you're going to love her.
Okay.
No, I'm just curious. What do you imagine when I say Lady Wonder, the psychic horse?
Just like this horse that's just radiating out rays of happiness and and it was Lady Wonder, man.
Like a My Little Pony?
Like resplendent. And mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like a My Little Pony, but just a little psychedelic.
Kind of like a Lady Godiva, like long flowing hair, but on a horse.
But like Wonder then, Woman, but like
oh,
a
Wonder
horse.
Woman.
Make it a horse.
Oh, I like this.
Lady Wonder.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, to lay out the basics, Lady Wonder was a real horse. No trick there.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not picturing anything, and there's just wind whistling between my ears.
Elizabeth. The horse was from Richmond, Virginia.
Okay.
You know where that is.
Sure.
The local papers, they often like to write about her, to remember her, to interview old folks who saw the horse, and they ask those folks questions, and they write a news story.
Slow
there's a lot
day.
Of news stories in Richmond about this horse. So Turning to one of those local remembrances from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, date Monday, October 18th, 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "She was just a horse, of course, but what a horse. A spelling horse. An adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing horse. And as many fervently believed, a mind-reading horse. A horse with the gift of prophecy. She was Lady the Wonder Horse." Now, you got to love a news story dedicated to celebrating a local legend.
Yeah,
I know you like that. But
love
what?
It.
But when it's a psychic horse, it's like turned up to 11.
It's amazing.
Lady Wonder, born on February 9th, 1924.
Okay.
Lived until March 19th, 1957.
So wait, how?
33 years, Elizabeth. 30 years. Did you know horses lived for 33 years?
I did not know that.
I did not know that either.
I thought like the bigger the animal, the shorter the life.
No, longer. It's the opposite. Yeah, shorter, smaller animals. Hmm. Think about it, like small dogs. And
no, the smaller the dog, the longer the
oh,
life.
Oh, actually, dogs is a bad example. But like,
okay,
think of
thank
like
you.
Elephants, right? They live longer than
squirrels. How long do elephants
squirrels.
Live? How long do elephants live?
Like human lifetime length.
Well,
they're like, not like turtles where they're getting like 140
six
years.
Weeks.
And. I don't know why I talk numbers with you.
Just don't do it.
Back to the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Yes.
For nearly two generations of Richmonders, she was everything from sideshow amusement to a messenger of God. The Richmond News Leader carried the death notice of Richmond's famous mind-reading horse, the city's psychic mare, atop the front page as prominently as if she had been the governor.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Elizabeth, we used to be a country. A country where a psychic horse got the same respect as the governor of Virginia.
Yeah, what? Where did we go wrong?
I don't know. But the horse was also a subject of features in newspapers and magazines outside of Virginia. So, yeah. The now defunct newspaper, the New York World, once wrote that, quote, "This horse can read minds, predict the future, and converse in Chinese." So that
wait,
was
converse in Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
It speaks languages.
Oh, you just wait. It's about to curl your toes.
Uh-oh.
That was then, right? But this sort of praise, it lasted long past the expiration date of the psychic horse, because in a news article from 1989, published in the New York Daily News, the writer recalled meeting Lady Wonder, the psychic horse, and to give readers a sense of the experience, she compared Lady Wonder to the psychic Joanne Quigley. You remember her, right?
Yeah,
Nancy Reagan psychic. Mm-hmm. Notice the year, 1989. That story broke in 1988.
Right.
So the news of a psychic in the Reagan White House was still fresh in the mind just one short year later, which explains why she chose to compare Lady Wonder, the psychic horse, to the psychic who guided the White House.
Yeah.
But it was actually even wilder than that, because according to the writer, she did ask the psychic horse and its trainer owner if it was true that, quote, senators, judges, military officers, high-level administration staffers, and State Department, and even foreign diplomats, end quote, all had visited the Virginia farmland to seek and, quote, sometimes base their political stance on wisdom that came right from the horse's mouth,
oh,
end
God.
Quote. Now, while the trainer was quick to point out that neither President Reagan nor the First Lady Nancy Reagan ever sought out the services of Lady Wonder, the psychic horse, she was coy about who in the White House had, because someone in a prior White House most certainly had listened to the advice of said psychic horse.
Curious.
Yes, the trainer, owner of Lady Wonder, told the reporter from the New York Daily News that Lady Wonder's advice had reached the ears of the president. She was certain of it. As the owner put it, quote, "Indirectly, I know it did. Naturally, no president of the United States is going to come down here to Richmond to consult a horse, and they're not going to invite a horse to the White House."
Okay, so
naturally,
how did this happen?
Right? But there's more, Elizabeth. As the owner confessed, "I know White House staffers were here, and several times in the early 40s, various military officers addressed some very serious questions to the horse as to the best time and place for the Allied invasion of Europe."
Well, I think we now know. Late night phone calls to Lady Wonder.
She just said
from,
that Lady Wonder helped time D-Day. I just love that. A psychic horse picked the day and date of D-Day. Anyway, eat your heart out, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, but like, who's going to argue this?
I know. Okay, enough about
dead.
Enough about the legend. What was Lady Wonder like as a horse and as a psychic? The horse was owned and trained by the Fondas. Not Henry, Peter,
and Jane. Oh, I was so
Jane.
Excited.
No. Instead, it was Claudia Fonda and her husband.
The other Fonda.
So the Fondas had a neighbor named Ivy Stone.
Were they Fonda the horse?
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Took
so
it from you.
Ivy Stone, who lived next door for years, she said the Fondas were an unremarkable couple. They had no children and they kept to themselves. She makes it sound like they were serial killers.
Right.
They were kind of quiet, kept
and
to themselves.
I never would have suspected them of having a psychic horse. Yeah. Ivy's a snitch.
So Ivy Stone is also a highly quotable 88-year-old.
Oh, God bless.
She recalled for a curious newspaper writer that the psychic horse Lady Wonder was like, and as Ivy Stone put it, quote, "She wasn't a pretty horse. Nobody would ever say that. Just an old sway-backed mare. There wasn't anything special about her, except..." No.
Wow,
she
judgmental.
Takes, right? She,
how superficial about a horse,
nobody
lady.
Would call it a pretty horse.
Dial it back.
So after Ivy Stone takes a long pause, and as if to let the silence make space for some woo-woo, she then comes back and she recalled how the perplexed neighbors felt about the psychic horse. And I quote, "Well, it was... just how did she learn her ABCs? Everybody said it seemed like she knew what you were thinking. I remember that before she'd answered, she'd look you in the eyes like human eyes, I'd say."
Hey.
Yeah, right? So what was up with this rather unattractive brown swayback mare with psychic powers and a deep penetrating
horse.
Stare? So the Fondas originally had purchased the horse to work the fields. It was just meant to be like, just go out there and plow, right? Plow horse till it drops, right?
It's all right, ma'am.
Now, however, Mrs. Fonda noticed that her new mare had this curious ability to anticipate people. What they would do, what they might say. It was as if the horse knew before the people did.
How is the horse expressing this?
I think
like wiggling her eyebrows at the.
I think it would start to go and like anticipate what they wanted to do next. I don't think she's giving them like a wink from, you know, like, hey, Mrs. Fonda. Nice.
Well, no, like someone says something and the forest winks at her like, Fonda. This guy's full of it.
who brought this clown? So what does this farm woman do now that she's found out that her horse may have special powers?
Bakes it a pie.
No, she taught the cult to master alphabet blocks. Like you would a small child.
Okay. It's like when those people who have dogs and they have the buttons pads on the floor and totally. They can talk, which is both phenomenal and terrifying.
Totally. Out.
Yeah.
Out,
and they're like, but then some of them, they're like, Dad, sad.
Yes.
Dad, gone. And they're like, wait, what? Where is he? Dad, broken. Dad, sad. And you're like, wait, where is he? And then they'll sleep. And you're like, oh, God.
Psychic dogs. I don't know if you want to know what animals are thinking at all times.
I mean, I do.
But like a dolphin. I think hearing what a dolphin's interior monologue might terrify
us. That would be terrifying because they're very smart.
Yeah.
But with dogs, too, like there are some dogs that I feel like they would just mess with you. You know, just tell you things that aren't true.
I think dolphins would try to pick up
the
on
the rascally
you.
Ones.
They'd be like, hey, have you ever seen how much they're trying? There's a lot of stories about
that. No, well, dolphins also are like, you have cancer. And you're like, oh, thanks, dude. Haven't you heard about that?
Yes, of course. I don't know why I'm laughing so hard at you have cancer, but yes, I have heard that dolphins
like in that
poke
movie,
you right in the cancer.
In that movie Up, where they give the collar to Doug.
To Doug, and he's just talking.
I want one on every animal.
No, you do.
You have cancer. And then it's all, you smell like a tire fire.
The crows
like,
are laughing.
That's nothing to do with the cancer. They're like, I know, you have bad hygiene. You're like, okay, enough. And then the dog's all just like prickles. You're like, oh, God. Just, you know, a range of intelligence in animals.
I really like it. I love where your head's at.
Please proceed.
Oh, okay. Where was I? Oh, right. The alphabet block.
Yes.
So teaches the smart horse to read and, or at least to tell letters apart. I shouldn't say teaches it to read. Well, but eventually Lady Wonder knew all 26 letters.
Okay.
Right. So then at age 3, she decides, you know what? This is not enough. I'm just going to go ahead and let you all know what I can really do. She makes her first big prediction. So she
would go out to the barn and the letter blocks, it's like all C-Tech astronomy on there. You're like, no.
Basically. Like, it's not quite, but it's kind of like that. Well, in 1927, all of America was talking about Lady Wonder after the psychic horse predicted the outcome of the big heavyweight boxing match of the day, Gene Tunney versus Jack Dempsey.
Okay.
Now, you may not remember the name Jack Dempsey, but he was the big favorite. The
psychic horse, big in my day.
Took the underdog to win. Then came by the way, the underdog won. Gene Tunney defeated Jack Dempsey.
Okay.
So then comes the big run of accurate predictions after this point. So 1929, Lady Wonder correctly predicted the Wall Street crash before it occurred.
Whoa.
The very next year, Lady Wonder made national headlines for a second time after she correctly predicted that FDR would win the 1930 election.
Well, wait, I can understand like a 50-50 chance of who's going to win this boxing match.
Totally.
And then when she doesn't get it right, they just don't tell anybody.
Exactly.
How did she predict the crash?
Oh, just wait.
Was she just all like shaking her head at everybody and like,
She's like, sell your
so
stock.
Much for your job.
Sell. So the 50-50 shot's a good point because basically that's a political election, right? It's like, oh, you just picked one or the other, right?
Like, well, it's like the octopus that predicts
exactly,
the World Cup.
Yeah. Right? Okay, but she picked FDR. Lady Wonder picked FDR to win before he was nominated.
Hmm. Well, then how did she pick?
She just picked him to be the next president.
Did she
Someone asked who
this?
Was the next president.
FDR. Like, oh my God, she talks.
I'll tell you. Remember with the letters.
Is just it know, a block?
She's using the letters, right? I'll explain in a second. But so she also picked Truman to beat Dewey, which is the opposite of that famous newspaper cover at the beginning of Cheers, right? She
the beginning of Cheers.
I don't know. You know, but what do people know?
You know, where it's best known from.
Yeah, but it's famously
not my
featured.
Fourth grade history textbook.
Exactly. Now, my favorite of Lady Wonder's early predictions has to be when she correctly predicted that the person who stole the Lindbergh baby was, spoiler alert, Bruno Hauptmann.
Oh, well, see, you buy that story.
But... Just like with FDR, this was months before this was an obvious conclusion.
And she spells out dude's name.
Bruno Hauptmann, yes. Now, a little while later, Lady Wonder also predicted the fall of the Fourth Republic of France.
What?
Now, they scoffed at that one because like they were like, what are you talking about? Look at the mighty defenses that France built following World War I. Lady Wonder's like, ah, ha, ha, your Maginot line. And in 1940, Lady Wonder, she was even proven correct when the Nazis invaded France, easily skirted the Maginot line, and boom, Fourth Republic of France indeed fell.
And then it's like cut to Lady Wonder. She's wearing a beret and all.
Now who's wrong? Now, here's one for you, Elizabeth.
Okay.
Lady Wonder also accurately predicted a California earthquake. And when I mean predicted, the psychic horse correctly called the time and the place of the earthquake.
That was a Southern California one, right?
Yeah, a big one. Yeah, I'd forget the...
I'm trying to think of the year. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Obviously, you know, when a psychic horse has this kind of track record, people get curious, right? Mm-hmm. Scientists also start coming around. They offer to test the animal.
Oh, God.
Enter Dr. Thomas Garrett, New York psychiatrist. He's skeptical of the claims that are being made about this psychic horse. He's like, show me the horse. Until Lady Wonder found what had been misplaced, or rather stolen, in his own life. Yes, Dr. Garrett was still upset, grieving, mind you, that his beloved dog had died while he was boarding at a kennel.
Oh, God. That's like... Nightmare number
right?
one.
Totally.
Yes.
Lady Wonder heard about the beloved dog. The psychic horse said, that's not the real story. Now, Lady Wonder tells Dr. Garrett that the kennel had sold the dog to someone living in Florida. Dr. Garrett listened to the psychic horse, then followed up on that one clue. And Elizabeth, good news, that he found his stolen dog. It was indeed alive and living down
Get
in Florida.
Out of town.
Yes.
How? Are the Fondas just like the greatest criminals of all time who just set up, they kidnap the Lindbergh baby, they pin it
They're
on
in
the
on
guy.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everyone has to come through and get clearance from the Fondas.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, I'm thinking about moving against the Lindberghs. Like, what day?
But the horse is going to rat on me. Yeah.
So this is the craziest one yet. You ready? At least to me, this is the craziest one. The Hungarian-born photographer and author Leslie Kuhn, who was the co-author of the book Modern Hypnosis, right? Mm-hmm. Once met the psychic horse. Now, Kuhn tried to ask a question that was sure to stump the mind-reading horse.
Okay.
Skeptical like you are, right? The author asked Lady Wonder what Greek word was 1, a letter of the alphabet, 2, a number, 3, a symbol, and 4, a noun. The psychic horse thought about it for a long moment. Then she answered the question with one word, omega, which was, of course, correct. That's the answer, right? Now, Leslie Kuhn wasn't satisfied. He's like, okay, well, that's you may have gotten that
He's
one
like,
right.
He's like, let's drill a hole in the horse's head.
I want to see inside the horse. Give me the drill. So he asked Lady Wonder, how do you say the word 5? In Hungarian. No, the horse answered, ot, O-T, right? I may be pronouncing that incorrect.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
Which is correct as an answer if you're spelling it out. Now, the skeptical Hungarian, he could only point out that the psychic horse had forgot to include the umlaut over the O.
Oh, get out of here.
That's all he's got. But still, how is this possible, Elizabeth?
And
how
these
exactly
are all with alphabet blocks?
Did the horse answer the question? These are all great questions, Elizabeth. Thank you for asking.
I'm so glad you asked.
The horse had its own special horsey house that the Fondas had built on their farm. Mm-hmm. The special horse gets a special house, right? The horsey house also was like a question booth. So kind of like Lucy from the Peanuts cartoon strip. What I'm saying is the horse worked from home, all right?
So okay, yeah.
Mrs. Fonda had taught her super smart horse to know her letters. Next, Mrs. Fonda had her husband construct a handmade horse-sized typewriter.
Stop. How big is a horse?
What did I just say, Elizabeth? A horse-sized typewriter.
No, I'm saying my question to you, thank me for asking.
Yes, thank
you
for asking.
How big is a horse-sized typewriter, and does the horse depress the keys with the nose or the hoof?
Okay, to answer your questions in order. How big is a horse? That's how big a horse-sized typewriter is. Now, second question, the nose.
With the nose.
Yes.
Okay.
So the handmade horse-sized typewriter was built of scrap metal. It had 2 rows of English letters. The typewriter keys were covered in this spongy rubber. Then the horse would lower its nose onto the typewriter key. That would trigger like a bracket, which would release a hinge, which would then make like a tin card with a letter or a number pop up into view. Then that's how the horse would answer. The Lady Wonder would spell out her answers.
Okay, wait. So
you're getting ding. Like,
in my mind, it's like this crazy steampunk contraption.
Basically, yes.
But it's not like a giant piece of paper, not like a Kerouac
butcher paper roll. It just throws up letters in front of you.
So just like, it's like one of those, remember those pianos from like for kids from long ago with the mouth that would open when you'd play it?
Is this one of your dreams? No, probably. I don't remember
it's
a mouth.
It's like a toy.
I don't remember
you...
a piano with a mouth.
Yeah, it's like Sesame Street characters or something.
Yeah. So I didn't make it up. That's what I'm imagining.
Okay.
But like, make it steampunk. Everything's copper.
It's very. It is. It's more like steel and iron, but less.
Whatever.
Less
it's
like.
Let's just say.
Yeah, they weren't worried about like biological like germs and stuff. There was no copper.
Was it
right?
made it's of just... lead?
Yeah, a lot of lead, Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. Mostly lead. So the handmade horse-sized typewriter.
this guy will never get past that.
It didn't have an umlaut key, so that's why he couldn't answer that question. But anyway, now when you have a psychic horse with this sort of accuracy streak, eventually even notable scientists will be willing to come and investigate and put their name on a journal paper or two.
Yeah.
So enter a skeptical scientist, the famed Dr. J.B. Ryan of Duke University.
Okay.
He traveled up to Virginia to study the psychic horse. Uh-huh. And Elizabeth, I'm going to make you wait for it.
No!
Yes! We're going to take a little break. And when we get back, I will tell you what J.B. Ryan did once he set up shop at the Fonda Farm.
Okay.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Elizabeth.
Oh, Zarin. Okay. So there's this giant, I'm still trying to picture the giant typewriter.
Yes.
Does that exist today? Can I go look at it at a roadside attraction?
That's a good question.
I do not know. Thank me for asking.
Thank you for asking, Elizabeth. I do not know if it still exists.
Mm-hmm.
So where were we? Oh, that's right. Dr. J.B. Ryan of Duke University. He travels up to Virginia to study the psychic horse. He sets up a little science zone, a little cozy science zone, right?
You know I love a cozy zone.
I know you do. And so it's in the pasture. Imagine a cozy science zone, right?
So awesome.
For the next few weeks, Ryan conducts 500 tests on Lady Wonder.
Oh.
One of these tests was to ask the psychic horse, what was the cube root of 27? The horse correctly answered 3. Mm-hmm. When Lady Wonder was asked what was the cube root of 1728, the horse could not answer. No, could you, Elizabeth?
No.
What's the cube root of 1728?
I'm going to cut you off right there.
I will admit, I only happen to know this one because of number theory. It's a big number in number theory.
I only happen to know this because of number theory.
I know, it sounds so strange, right? I don't know the cube root of 12, but I know it because of number theory. That's how I do math. Anyway, uh-huh. It's 12. So once he was satisfied, Ryan published the results of his study on the psychic horse in the Sober and Serious Journal of Abnormal and Social Psychology. In his journal paper, Ryan noted that, quote, Lady Wanda seemed responsive to telepathy and possesses a degree of psychic power. Huge news. Wild. Doctor says horse is psychic.
But I'm not seeing this as psychic. I'm seeing this as like hyper intelligence and communication, but it's not like, what number am I thinking of?
Well, because the only way that she would have known what how to say 5 in Hungarian is because she's reading the mind of a Hungarian standing in front of her.
Or she reads Hungarian and gets the paper. Hello.
Good point.
Yeah, I know,
so
right?
The New York World, they published an article on the psychic horse that was causing all of Lady Wonder's many coast-to-coast sensations of publicity and fame, right? But as with any news of the strange, the craze eventually passes. So despite reaching nationwide fame in the 1920s, the 1930s, the 1940s, Lady Wonder, the psychic horse, gets pushed off the front pages during the war years.
Yeah, I'd say.
So she remains a local legend. Folks keep coming out to see her and ask the psychic horse for her advice, including the president's men for advice on the timing of D-Day.
Right.
But time passes, and then like a strange cosmic clockwork, in 1952, she is once again a front page sensation because now the psychic horse has begun to help the police solve crimes.
Yes.
Yeah, so what if a human being, Elizabeth? Mm-hmm. Well, this is my question.
What if?
If you have a pet detective, right? Mm-hmm. That's a human detective who looks for pets.
Sure.
But if you have a pet who's a detective who looks for lost humans, are they a human detective?
No, they're a dog detective.
Because a pet detective.
Detective dog.
But I'm saying like this, you got a psychic horse looking for humans. It's a human. He detects humans. He's a human detective.
No, he's an animal. Detective
just,
animal.
Just saying by the rules of the logic of pet detective, he should be a human detective.
Yeah, that is very true. So he's human
detective. Anyway, let's just get into it. Okay. So what do you think about Lady Wonder? Do you believe she has powers?
No.
Even after Dr. J.B. Ryan's conclusive 500 tests?
Everything's a scam.
Well, I have a story for you from a local who...
I want to believe.
Oh, look at you,
but
Mulder.
There's just no way I can, Scully.
So this colorful set of exchanges may change your mind. Who knows? But I'd like you to meet Leon O'Story.
Hi, Leon.
Street name, same old story.
Wait, this is...
No, I'm just playing. I made that up.
I'm so excited.
Wouldn't
He's
that
like,
be an amazing street name,
My
though?
Name's Leon, but some people call me Zamel. They're like, no one calls you that.
Leon, if you're listening, you can keep that one free of charge. Anyway, my man, Leon, same old story. He was an insurance agent, so you see my point.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a big believer in the psychic horse. In the late 1940s, after the war, same old story, he comes back from the war. He's an airman, right, on leave. He thought, what the hell, why don't I drive out to the Fonda farm and see what my psychic horse says about my future, right?
Sure.
He paid his money, the Fondas bring out Lady Wonder, same old story, he asks his question, right? As he tells it, I asked the old lady to tell me the name of the girl I've been dating in Oklahoma. Now, the psychic horse thinks about it for a moment, then she lowered her nose and typed out FRANCE. S. Boom, that was the correct answer.
What?
As same old story remembered it, that was it. I said, what the? After that, he was convinced.
Sure.
So periodically, he'd roll out to the Fonda farm and see what the psychic horse had to say about his future. Now, when he asked Lady Wonder if he should keep flying, you know, when he got out of the military, psychic horse told him, INSURANCE, as in he should change jobs and become an insurance salesman.
Oh, I thought it'd be like buy insurance if you're going to be flying all over the place.
You could read it a lot of ways.
That's
well, he decided I should become an insurance agent, change his careers, and he loves it. It's as if the horse knew his future.
Interesting.
So, same old story. Now, he knows how this all must sound. He knows that it's weird that he takes career advice from a psychic horse.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
And he said, and I quote, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm not crazy. It was that horse.
When you have to say, I'm not crazy.
And it ends with, it was that horse.
It was that.
Now, his brother is a deputy sheriff, and he had a part of a manhunt for some missing kids. So Leon, or as I like to call him, Samuel, he drives out to see Lady Wonder, and the psychic horse considers his question. He's like, you know, and then the horse, she types out where the missing kids could be found. Lady Wonder was again correct. Leads to a whole fresh wave of news stories.
What?
More features by journalists looking to make sense of this super strange story.
When was she able to slip out and kidnap the kids and hide them?
Miss Fonda, busy. Now, but rather than me just telling you all about these new feature stories to be covered,
yes.
Elizabeth, I'd like to close your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
And I'd like you
to picture it. Elizabeth, you've just arrived at the Fonda Farm. There are a few people ahead of you in line to see the psychic horse. You are there on assignment. You are a newspaper woman, a hard-nosed, ink-stained gal with moxie to boot. Think Jennifer Jason Leigh as Amy Archer in Hudsucker Proxy. Now, you've been sent down to Richmond, Virginia from the Big Apple, the city that never sleeps, the city with the Empire State of Mind, right? And let me tell you, you are not pleased to be gallivanting with the Hicks and the Sticks. Now, you've got a story to do, right? So you'll get it. By God, I'll bet my Pulitzer are on it. Now, you swat away a horsefly and you wait your turn. Finally, your turn comes, and you step up to the homemade horsey house. You give Lady Wonder the once-over. She seems legit. It's clearly a real horse. You pay your $1, and then Mrs. Fonda asks that you write out your three questions. Your first question. Who will win the Cold War, democracy or the Reds? Now, the psychic horse thinks for a moment. She whinnies, then dutifully uses her nose to spring the keys of the handmade horse-sized typewriter. Lady Wonder spells out D-E-M-O-C-R-A-C-Y. This pleases you since you live in a democracy, and it being 1949, and you're no fan of Stalin's new little fad called totalitarianism. Right. However, you'll have to wait a long while to see if the horse's answer proves correct.
Right. Yeah.
Mrs. Fonda asks you to write out question two. This time, you ask not for a prognostication, but for the horse to read your mind. Hmm. Mrs. Fonda instructs you to write out both the question, which she will read aloud to Lady Wonder, and then the answer, which she will not read aloud to the psychic horse. Let's test this foresighted filly, you think to yourself as you jot down your mind-reading test question. Miss Fonda takes your card and then reads aloud, Lady Wonder, this lady reporter would like to know what was the make of the first car she ever owned. Hmm. Now, Lady Wonder takes a casual step in her handmade horsey home. Her hoof stamps the floor. This is a tough one. The psychic horse looks at you, Elizabeth. The horse fixes her eyes on you, and suddenly you are transfixed. Everything grows soft and sounds kind of fuzzy. Now it's just you and Lady Wonder. You don't know how much time is passing. You're locked in. Just you and the psychic horse. Then, snap, Lady Wonder breaks eye contact. The spell is broken. The world rushes back into full focus as you see the psychic horse lift up her head, then slowly lower it and press the first key. It's the letter F. This is followed by the letter O. The psychic horse spells out F-O-R-D. Elizabeth, you've arrived a big city skeptic, a natural-born doubter, a sideshow barker's worst nightmare. But this is impressive. This is two for two as far as you're concerned because you think democracy's going to win, and now she's guessed the make of your car. The psychic horse just read your mind, or so it would seem. But really, how many car makers are there now? Six? Seven? Could be a lucky guess. So you have one more question. Mrs. Fonda asks you what your third one will be. You have to think a moment. You want to pull out a real stinker, a mental Mickey Finn, a Lollapalooza of a puzzle for the psychic horse. You got it. You scribbled something down. It's a trick question. Miss Fonda reads it, then asks Lady Wonder, who is really the king of the jungle, human beings or house cats? The psychic horse listens and seems to process the question. Then she presses her nose on a key on the homemade horse-sized typewriter. Just one key. Up pops the word, no. No, what do you mean, no?
So there's a no key?
The slippery equine just evaded your third question. You sass the psychic horse. Look, level with me. What have you heard? I just want to know, are we being played by the house cats? Mrs. Fonda asks if you want your dollar back. You don't, but this is all definitely going in your story for Keyhole Magazine. Now, as you walk back to your wide and bubbly 1948 Chevy Bel Air, you have to admit to yourself, the psychic horse just played you for a dollar. Now, around the same time, 1952, Lady Wonder, she enjoyed her largest round of late fame. There was a child who went missing in Massachusetts. The local district attorney happened to be passing through Richmond and decided to seek help from the local legend, the psychic horse who finds missing people. The DA asked Lady Wonder about the missing kid, and then he took seriously the advice of the psychic horse, who told the DA that the missing child could be found in a place called Pittsfield. The child was found in a place called Wild's Pit, which was close enough for the DA to credit the psychic horse for her assistance. Uh-huh. That successful manhunt led to a flurry of syndicated news stories across the country. Time, Newsweek, Life magazine all sent out profile writers just like you to do a story on Lady Wonder, mm-hmm. which then resulted in a fresh avalanche of questions and requests from all around America and abroad. Now, with Mrs. Fonda's help, Lady Wonder answered all the questions she was sent. Her favorite type of questions were about romance, career choices, really big into those. Mm-hmm. Miss Fonda, she refused Elizabeth to answer any requests for lucky numbers for the lottery, nor any questions pertaining to gambling, sporting events.
Yeah.
All right. So one time a man asked Lady Wonder if his wife was faithful. The psychic horse saw through the question. She was on to him. And instead of answering, Lady Wonder asked, Are you?
Oh, see, I always feel like if you gotta ask.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
So with all the fresh attention, and since it was the 1950s, it didn't take long before the movie and TV producers came calling. They wanted in on Lady Wonder, right? So they come calling, and Ivy Stone recalled that Mrs. Fonda once told her that she would have gone Hollywood, except for one thing. My health wasn't too good.
Aww.
Right? I think that's a lie. But anyway, Elizabeth, I gotta ask, having heard all this, do you think Lady Wonder was psychic?
No.
So, for more data, there was another person who tested the psychic horse. His name was Paul Duke, journalist for the Associated Press, right? Not just any like normal correspondent. He was also the host of the PBS show Washington Week in Review.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? Serious, sober, respected member of the press. He reported that he was, quote, flabbergasted after Lady Wonder correctly answered the name of his alma mater, like the college he went to, as well as, quote, the exact dollar and cents figure of his weekly paycheck. So this highly quotable neighbor, Ivy Stone, said that she believed the horse wasn't psychic, but instead it was Mrs. Fonda who was the psychic and that she channeled her gift through the horse. Mrs. Stone said, and I quote, I think she passed it through the horse. That's what I think.
Oh, now, okay.
But rather than assume a witch used a horse to distract from her powers, let's consider another possible explanation. One that flows from Ivy Stone's idea that she passed it through the horse, right?
Uh-huh.
Not psychic powers, but rather clues and cues. Remember the clever Hans?
Yeah, yeah.
So you see, when Lady Wonder did her question and answer routine, Mrs. Fonda stood next to her, and she held a whip. One that had a small string attached that dangled down before the horse.
Yeah.
As a writer from the New York Daily News recalled from her visit to meet Lady Wonder, quote, when the horse's swaying head was directly above a desired vowel or consonant, did Fonda let the string gently touch the top of Lady Wonder's head, the signal to lower her nose? This observer did notice those strange goings-on, and so did Ryan, who on a second visit saw that when Fonda wasn't in the room, the, quote, telepathy was dead.
Oh, of course!
Come to find out, Elizabeth, Lady Wonder, the psychic horse, was only psychic in the presence of Mrs. Fonda. That seems hella sus, right?
Right.
Okay, but...
And this is the first they're pointing this out.
No?
That she's got something dangling over the horse every single time.
People are like, well, that's just motivation.
I thought she was like
trying
on the
to
other
keep her
side.
Focus.
I thought she's on the
standing
other side
right
of the
next
house.
To her. No, standing right next to her at the horsey house, at the door, if you will, the window, if you will. Now, add in to how it was done. The questioner was asked to write their question and their answer down. Remember what you did? To better focus their mind and build the psychic bridge with the horse.
Mm-hmm.
As the writer also further speculates, quote, an accomplice peering through a small knot hole in the low ceiling could easily read the written answer being conveniently held in the concentrating customer's hand. The rest is just a question of signals between two human beings.
Wow.
So they got a spotter.
I didn't know they had to write down the answer.
Yeah, well, right. I told you you had to write down the answer?
Well, some of them did, but most of them.
Well, that's
like...
if they're doing the mind reading trick.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, like I said, that explains all the in-person question and answer sessions. But what about all the questions sent in from a distance? They can't do that trick there. And what about all the deep polls like FDR's election before being nominated?
Right.
The earthquake in California. Well, if you consider that Lady Wonder made a roughly 200,000 predictions in her lifetime,
mm-hmm.
she was bound to get some long shots right. It's just simple math. I mean, that's just like law of averages.
Well, we don't hear about the ones that she gets wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So was Lady Wonder a psychic horse or really just a good underpaid secretary? Right? So was Mrs. Fonda psychic and the horse just her elaborate stage decoration? I'll leave that to you to decide. But I do have one last bit of fun for us.
Okay.
Well, this may be more fun for me than for you. But let's see. Who knows?
Is the crime that she was bilking people with the horse?
The crime is that she was helping find missing people.
That's a crime?
They were missing.
Oh,
and
okay.
And she helped solve where they were missing, Elizabeth. She saved people.
All right.
She found people who were missing.
Okay.
And also, shut it down.
Shut it down, Dave.
This is a long con.
Turn the lights off.
I don't want to like bust it out
yet. It's a con.
It's a long con.
Let's just call it a
con. It's a very long con.
It's still going on.
Okay, so I do, as I said, I have a little bit of fun for you. When Lady Wonder, the psychic horse, died, she was still a working horse. In fact, the psychic equine was busy nose typing when she sort of keeled over mid-answer.
Oh, boy.
You want to know what she was typing? What her last psychic transmission was?
Oh, no. What is it?
The answer that killed her?
Uh-huh.
So on March 19th, 1957, Lady Wonder, the psychic horse, was nose typing out the answer to a question that I cannot find the question, but I do know what, so I don't know what was asked. All I know is the answer that she was typing. She typed out E-I-S-E-N-H-O-W-E-R, Eisenhower. She typed that into her handmade horse-sized typewriter. Uh-huh. Then she suffered a heart attack and keeled over. She apparently had just finished the word. So it's fully Eisenhower. Now, maybe she was repeating the message that he gave the world in his farewell address. Like, maybe Lady Wonder was also warning America about the vast influence of the military-industrial complex.
Completely.
I don't know what
that's
the thing.
That's a long thing to type out.
Right? Though, but she just typed Eisenhower. Right? So, listen to Ike. Now, anyway, Lady Wonder was 33 years old at the time of her passing. Same as Jesus. Just putting that out there. I kid. Anyway, 2 years later, the owner of the psychic course, Miss Claudia Fonda, she also slipped this mortal coil, taking her and Lady Wonder's secrets with her. Her husband had preceded her in death. So there you go. The story of a mystery-solving, lost person locating, long con, mind-reading psychic course that charge you $1 a con. So what's our ridiculous takeaway here, Elizabeth?
Oh, my ridiculous takeaway, that typewriter will live in my head forever. And yeah, it's a con.
What are you talking? She's milking people for $1 with a psychic horse.
That's entertainment, though.
She thinks people believe it's real.
But no one
for decades.
No one sued her.
A scientist published in a journal that she had a psychic horse.
Maybe she did.
It was psychic.
Disproved it.
Well, anyway. My ridiculous takeaway, thank you for asking, again, this was all a clearly fun grift and long con by Mrs. Fonda. So bully to her for that.
Yeah,
she pulled off
true.
This great long
her.
Con. Way to add some strange to the world, Mrs. Fonda.
Love it. I do
and
love
get
that.
Paid doing it. Oh, yeah. Big ups, Miss Fonda. So Elizabeth.
That's my ridiculous takeaway?
No, I'm not asking you again. No, I already asked you once. You only get one shot at this. But I will offer you this.
Yeah.
You want to hear a talk back?
Always.
Producer Dave, hit it.
Oh my God, did he just say that?
OMG.
Hey Elizabeth and Zarin, it's Meg from Perth, and I just did my orientation lecture for my Masters of Education, fourth degree lucky, third career. And I'm going to be a primary school teacher, and I feel amazing about it, and I wanted to let you know, so... Take it sleazy, and if you can't be good at it. Bye.
Congratulations.
I love that. That's amazing. Yeah. Big round there. Why are the Aussies are fantastic.
Yeah, big ups to the Aussies, and congrats on your new career.
Huge.
Always be asking what's next, because you don't know, and you can always surprise yourself.
And I like sharing good news.
Yeah, same thing, completely.
That's a good thing. We don't get enough of that.
Well, as always, if you got some good news, you can find us online at Ridiculous Crime on the social media. Send it our way. We obviously like the good news. And also, we have a website, ridiculouscrime.com, and we clearly like your talkback, so please favor us with the sound of your voice. And email us if you like at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. As always, make it Dear Elizabeth. And once again, thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next crime. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by owner of a psychic horse, Dave Kustin. Research is by Marissa, owner of a sidekick horse, Brown. And Andrea, owner of a tricyclic horse, Song Sharpened Here. Our theme song is by Thomas, a horse is a horse, of course, Lee. And Travis, unless it's the famous Mr. Ed Balls, Dutton. The host wardrobe is provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ben. Have you ever seen a horse fly? Bolin. And no, but I have seen an elephant fly. Coach, it was super sad. No headroom, no trunk space. Miserable the whole way to Cincinnati. Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.